Our first reading today is Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, commencing at verse 38. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in my name. We saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed with two hands than go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other.
Well, thank you for reading for us, Jane and Michelle. Thank you for leading us in prayer, Rachel. And good morning. It's very good to be with you this morning as we continue in our series, An Invitation to Church, exploring what it means to gather together as God's people. And today we're going to look at the subject of our community, And I'm going to do that in three parts. Point one will be unity, point two will be diversity, and then point three will be community as we explore the scriptures together. But I have to say that during the course of the last week, I have noticed on the media that there has been a fairly big emphasis on one of our not so near neighbors across the ocean, that is the United States of America. And you may have seen some of the razzmatazz that has been coming out of that nation as well. Got me thinking about the origins of the nation and just remembering back to 1776, in which days there was a declaration of independence, you may recall, and you may be familiar with some of the words that are expressed here in that declaration. The pursuit of, well, as it was said by those who established this declaration, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Say that three times fast. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. And yet, were you watching any of what was coming out during the course of this week, you may have been forgiven for thinking that in 2024 there had been a shift in the pursuit. That is the pursuit of unity. Why do I say this? Well, both of the two major parties are gearing up for a significant national election at the end of the year. And I did note that on his Twitter account, well, the account formerly known as Twitter, his ex account, Joe Biden at POTUS wrote, and I quote, "Unity is the most elusive goal of all. But nothing is more important than that right now. We'll debate and we'll disagree, but we must unite as one nation to demonstrate who we are as Americans." A little bit later in the week, on Friday, former President Donald Trump also spoke to the notion of unity. He said these words, I quote, "For too long," this is, sorry, at the Republican National Congress on Friday, he said, "For too long our nation has settled for too little. Your expectations are not big enough. As long as our energies are spent fighting each other, our destinies will remain out of reach. We can do it together. We will unite. We are going to come together and success will bring us together. We shall never be more united than ever before." You see these themes. Currently, an emphasis on a desire for unity. Now, I did stick around and watch some more of that Republican National Congress. I served you in doing so, so you do not have to. And I have to note that there was quite a lot of razzmatazz. So I don't know whether you know the artist formerly known as Hulk Hogan, but he made an appearance. He said, and I quote, "Let Trump mania make America great again. Crime is out of control, the borders are out of control, prices are out of control. The only person who can clean this up is Donald Trump." And I thought to myself, well, there's somebody who thinks there's a new messiah. I have to say I was thankful by the next day on which Franklin Graham made an appearance and did remind everybody in the room in his prayer that there is, well, a true messiah, and he's still as good as ever. Franklin said, and he prayed, I quote, "God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whomever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. All that is good," Franklin prayed, "God, it has all come from you. You are the only one who can fix all the problems of today. All authority comes from you. And we ask, if it be your will, you will make America great again. In the name of my Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Amen." How refreshing that was for the soul. As we look to community, the big idea for today is this: unity is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unity is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to commit our time together in prayer to our Father in heaven. Would you perhaps join me as we pray? Excuse me. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that once more we would sit under your precious promises and not exalt ourselves over them. By the power of your Spirit who is with us, teach us, we pray. And indeed, I amplify and add to the prayer that Rachel has already prayed. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. First off, unity. Unity. Unity is not and should not be confused with uniformity. I confess that this illustration belongs to my wife, but it does rather describe something that used to take place in my household family of origin, where we all had different preferencing for ice cream. And so there was one of us in my family who really liked the vanilla ice cream. There was one of us in my family who really liked the chocolate ice cream, and there was one of us in my family of origin who really liked the strawberry ice cream. And there was one of us who really didn't mind, they just liked ice cream. And how happy we were when we discovered, and it was a different brand, but you could get this amazing ice cream that was called Neapolitan. The pursuit of family unity was made possible in that space. Now, I want you to consider for a moment if the church were ice cream. You have Franklin Graham and his words. Franklin is from the Baptist denomination. Let's just for the sake of argument call him the chocolate ice cream. You might consider the words perhaps of the Roman Catholic Pope Francis back in 2015. And again, I pick up this theme of unity. To understand one another, he said, and to grow in charity and truth, we need to pause to accept and listen to one another. In this way, we are already beginning to experience unity. Unity grows along the way. It never stands still. Unity happens when we walk together, says Francis. I put the strawberry ice cream up there, but you might consider the Catholic Church to be a little more like Tutti Frutti. Or perhaps you just like the good old plain vanilla flavor of Anglicanism. I'm teasing. But I'm not teasing when I quote the words of Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, when he said, "More than ever, we have a strong sense of the unity of Christians. God hears the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ that we may be one, so that the world may believe that, quote, you have sent me, and even now is fulfilling his prayer." Now, I want to just to consider this with you, because there's a real danger, I think, sometimes that we can just say, well, isn't all ice cream just ice cream? Isn't it good for us to be walking in unity? But unity in itself is not the end when it is sought out by men and women. In fact, ice cream, and I don't know whether you've had real ice cream, but ice cream, when it's real ice cream, you know ice cream. That picture there is clotted cream ice cream from Cornwall in England, and it has no flavor other than clotted cream. And my goodness, that is ice cream. And so in many ways, the ice cream that we're kind of seeking is the pure ice cream of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, for community, unity is found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may remember last week, I was speaking to the fact that we're seeking under God to be straight in step with our Savior. And what is required in our beliefs and behaviors in order to keep a straight step with him is that we surrender ourselves to the very word of God. In Isaiah, it's written for us, and in 1 Peter, it is picked up again, this theme that all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. You know, there's not one of us in this room who in these mortal vessels is going to last forever. We keep trying to find new ways to breathe fresh life into these bodies, but they're only going to last a lifetime. But the word of the Lord stands for eternity. And the unity in which we share when we surrender to the word of God gives us the hope of eternity. The danger of man-made unity is that it's rather like when those people came together in Genesis 11 and said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we will be scattered throughout the earth." Then the Lord came down to look over the city and the tower that the humans were building. And you remember in his gracious judgment, he stopped them from seeking unity together because he wanted them in relationship with him. And God gave us unity, walking with him. You know, that first psalm that we had read for us, Psalm 133, is all about unity that comes from God's people under God. God set up this priesthood so that he could be in relationship with his people. You remember from Leviticus, we heard about Aaron was the great high priest. And this psalm says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured on the beard, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his priestly robe. Oil running down your face may not sound that pleasant, but what it is a beautiful picture of God's anointing of the one whom he set aside to make it possible for his people to dwell with him. That's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, life until forevermore. And that priesthood was all anticipating the one true high priest, Jesus, who would come, as it said in the Psalm 22, where he gives his life, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from my deliverance? He comes in our place to take the punishment for our sins, that we might be made right with God, that we might be rescued, as it says in Psalm 22, when we cry out to him and are set free and trust in God and will not be disgraced. So walking together in unity is about walking together in Jesus, with Jesus, under his promises. And when we're called in Ephesians by Jesus' Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 4, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, we're reminded that there is one body and one Spirit, as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And so unity comes only through the Spirit of God who binds his people together, that speaking the truth in love, we may not grow weary, but rather grow in every way into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. For he is the one from whom the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Unity of which we speak, and here we look at Article 11 of the Jerusalem Declaration, is a unity that comes from knowing and loving Jesus Christ. That's where authentic ecumenical relationships will dwell, when together we surrender to the very Word of God. And we recognize the orders and jurisdiction of those Anglicans who uphold the orthodox, the straight faith and practice. And we encourage all of them to join in this declaration. So for this first section of unity, I'm going to lead us in prayer. I'm going to do that as well for diversity and community, that God might be the one who would bind us together in unity. Let's pray together, shall we? And this is one of the GAFCON 24 prayers that have been set aside for us as a result of that gathering in Brisbane that we spoke of last week. Let's pray. Almighty God, creator of all things, we thank you for making us in your image and giving us life. Though we have sinned, you loved us and sent your Son, Jesus, who lived the life that we could not live and died the death that we deserve. We come to you in humble dependence, thankful for the glorious gospel of the risen Lord Jesus, through whom we are forgiven, saved, and called to serve you forever. To you be all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Alrighty, second point, diversity. So here we are, recognizing that different denominational flavors exist around the world, but let's face it, Fig Tree, whilst we're an Anglican church, I know is made up of lots of denominational flavors. There are folks here from congregational backgrounds, Baptist backgrounds, Pentecostal backgrounds. There are some from Presbyterian backgrounds. There's some from independent church backgrounds, and there's even some Anglicans amongst us. And so when we consider the gospel, the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how great it is that there's diversity amongst us. But you see, that ice cream is made from God-given natural materials. Ice cream comes from the milk of a cow or a goat these days. But you know what I mean, like cream comes from a God's creature, right? What I'm going to tell you may shock some of you, but there is absolutely no way to make ice cream from this stuff. This is synthetic man-made. I'm sorry, I do not like this stuff at all. This is synthetic man-made evil cream. It is not cream. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not man-made. And so we're to avoid this stuff. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 7, he doesn't say it about the whipped cream stuff, but he does say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. Brothers and sisters, we must take care with those who manufacture man-made unity, especially when they are not of the body of Christ. I just set us up for that because the reading that we had takes us to the other end, which is the inclination of our hearts also to be on occasion, and you know it and I know it because we've all been there, divisive when it comes to the gift of God-given diversity. The pursuit of the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can sometimes give us over to not recognizing the beauty of difference. But there is difference, isn't there? There are some for whom going to Fiji and sharing the gospel face to face with folks is a challenge and a delight. And we so look forward to our cohort coming back this afternoon. For others of us, that's our worst nightmare, right? For some, the prospect of heading over to Sierra Leone and serving people on a ship is the most delightful prospect, to be able to serve in the galley and to be able to serve in the nursing area. For others who get seasick, that's the last thing on our minds. God gives us beautiful diversity, such that I can say to you what a delight it is to know that you are a red circle block, but you're not going to fit into a square hole. Likewise, you can say to me, Robin, I'm very glad that you're a green triangle, but I would never want to try and fit into the hole that God's given you. because God's given us beautiful diversity. And in fact, if you want to think more about that from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we did a three-part series back in 2022 called Building the Body. And I'd encourage you to have a listen to that on our figtree.church website where the sermons are held, if you want to go into that some more. But for now, Jesus does say these words, read for us. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. What's Jesus' response? Don't stop him. For one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment not say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. There's a delightful diversity within the church that is surrendered to the gospel, the pure gospel. And we celebrate in Article 12 the God-given diversity amongst us, which enriches our fellowship locally and globally. And we do acknowledge freedom in secondary matters. When Jesus in 1 Corinthians 12, through his apostle Paul, gives us spirit-inspired words to say, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is the Lord except by the Spirit. That's the authority of God's Spirit speaking. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. Different ministries, but the same Lord. Different works, but the same God works all of them in each person. And so we must never say to ourselves, I have no place here at church. I've got nothing to offer. And we must never say to others, you have no place here at church. You have nothing to offer. Every one of us has a place in the diversity, the beautiful diversity of the local church under the unity of the eternal gospel. And so in Article 12, we pledge to work together to seek the mind of Christ on issues that divide us. On issues that divide us, we have diversity that is God-given, but we have unity under a gospel that also is God-given. And so when in Philippians 2, Paul writes under the inspiration of the same Spirit, if then there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. What's that purpose? Service. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interest, but rather to the interest of others, adopting the same mind as that of Christ Jesus, who, as he goes on to say, in very nature God did not grasp his place on a throne, but took on the nature of a servant, and being found as appearance as a man, was obedient to death on a cross, so that God exalted him to the highest place. Brothers and sisters, we're going to pray into this with a prayer for God's church. Let's bow our heads together and speak to our Father in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your Son to build his church. Empower us by your Holy Spirit so that we may boldly proclaim and live out the gospel with courage and clarity and compassion. Raise up future leaders to equip your people to be disciples of Christ in our families, workplaces, and communities. And in your mercy, use us to draw people to respond to the good news in faith and obedience, so future generations will know and trust you. Amen. Well, thirdly and finally, community. And I want us to be remembering again that man-made unity is not something that will endure. You remember already we've seen from Genesis 11 that when people come together, even God's people, and try and engineer some sort of community that is man-made, that is not something that's going to endure. In fact, Jesus says that sort of behavior is actually a burden for God's people. He's talking about the Pharisees, and he said to the crowds and the disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. In other words, when they're referring to the very word of God, God's word, his law is good. Jesus came to fulfill that law. And what he was concerned about was the fact that then they did not do what they preach. Jesus said, do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They rather tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they're not willing to lift a finger to help them. Man-made rules and regulations and interpretations of the very word of God to somehow bring together a man-made unity is not what the gospel is about. God is gathering his community together. God is the one who has brought his people into his very presence, and he's done so so that we might prayerfully trust in his precious promises. And when you and I gather together like this, and we gather together in our life groups, and we gather together as families around the Word of God, and we gather together in devotion, surrender to the Word of God, what God does is something wonderful. He draws us closer together as he draws us closer to Jesus. Isn't that right? That's the community that God is building. It's a lovely quote from C.S. Lewis. You may be familiar with the Narnia Chronicles that he wrote, a series of fabulous books. In the final one, The Last Battle, there's a character called Jewel the Unicorn. And Jewel says these words as Jewel comes into, I suppose, what would be the metaphor for heaven and then in time the new creation. I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life, though I never knew it till now. Come further up and further in. Further up and further in. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the winds came, the rivers rose. But because the foundation was the rock, that is, acting on the words of Jesus, that house stood. People who hear the words of Jesus and then ignore them, well, that's like building on the sand. The winds come, the rains come, and the house collapses. And Jesus goes on to say in this passage we had read for us, do not lead anyone else astray. Teach them my words, and teach them to obey my words. For if anyone causes any of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him or her if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. And then Jesus uses these metaphors, these really big pictures of chopping off bits of the body, which is really horrible image for us, but a powerful image to say, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, for it's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell. And it's better if your hand causes you to, if your foot causes you to stumble, to cut it off. Better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet, than to be thrown into hell. And your eye, if it causes you to stumble, pluck it out. For it's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt amongst yourselves and be at peace with one another. In other words, be distinctive for Jesus, but also be distinctive in discipling others to follow the Lord Jesus. We do not want to see little ones stumble, do we, brothers and sisters? And this is why the movement of GAFCON exists. It's a movement amongst global Anglicans that is Bible-based and it's straight, it's orthodox, and it's a global mission guarding and proclaiming the unchanging truth of the gospel in a changing world. It is aligned with the pure gospel of Jesus, and this is why we give our assent to the Articles of the Jerusalem Declaration. And just this week, the Most Reverend Dr. Laurent Mbanda, the chairman of the GAFCON Primates Council, came out with these words in response to what's happening in the Church of England. He said, and I quote, with faithful Anglicans around the globe, including GAFCON and the Global South Fellowship of Anglican Provinces, we grieve that our mother church, the Church of England, has abandoned her children who wish to uphold the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ on marriage and his apostles' clear denunciation of all forms of sexual immorality. He goes on, the recent decision of the General Synod to approve the use of prayers of blessing for same-sex couples is to bless what God does not bless and is nothing less than prayers which sanctify sin. GAFCON provinces stand with the members of the Alliance who desire a third province in the Church of England and who recently commissioned overseas to provide pastoral care for those who are in impaired communion with their bishops. Wherever faithful Anglicans find themselves, GAFCON is ready to support, encourage and defend them. They are not alone. And brothers and sisters, we stand with those who've stayed true to the pure gospel. You see, in summary, everyone is invited to respond to Jesus. His church is being established by his Spirit. Unity only grows through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his community is where anyone can belong. This is God's family, and we join together with Jew and Gentile, male and female, families and singles, young and old, because we are, in the end, being prepared, as the book of Revelation puts it, a beautiful bride being made ready for the groom, the Lord Jesus, who will come to take his church, his people, forever to be in his presence. What grander future might we have to participate in? There is nothing more profound and there is nothing more beautiful. And the unity that Jesus brings in his gospel is one that will endure for eternity. So let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for all faithful Anglicans. We do grieve that there are false shepherds in your church who are teaching another gospel and pray that they would repent. We long for Jesus and his gospel to be at the heart of every Anglican church, every church gathering, Father God, and for all to trust the authority of the Bible. Raise up godly shepherds to lead your people in truth and love. We thank you for GAFCON and the unity we have in Christ. By your Spirit, help us maintain our unity and the bond of peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.